So let me pray, and then we will get into our lesson for tonight. So let's pray. Father, thank you so much that you are a God who loves us. You are a God who constantly is calling us to yourself. You're calling us to walk in wise ways. You're calling us to rest in you and to enjoy you. And so, God, as we continue in our study tonight, these incommunicable attributes, these beautiful things that are yours alone, God, I pray that you would allow us to have just a clearer picture of who you are, and that it would grow us in our love of you, our trust of you, and just our awe, and that we would worship you even more. God, as we study your omnipresence, I pray that you would speak through your power, and that by your Holy Spirit, you would be the teacher of each one of us. God, I pray that you would guard my words. I pray that it would be pleasing to you. God, I pray that you would just strengthen each one of us in our thoughts, that we might be able to grasp what it is that you are wanting to communicate about yourself. So we ask all this, that you would meet with us tonight. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. So our lesson tonight, it's again one of those that I will just tell you that as we're studying it, you will walk away going, oh, wow, God is definitely incomprehensible. Like, there is no doubt there's a level of incomprehensibility here. But what he has made known to us about this attribute, I think we will also walk away declaring that God is good, and he's worthy of praise, and he's worthy of our adoration. And so that has been, as I have been preparing this one, that has just come up over and over, how good God is. And while some of what we're going to talk about is really hard, because it's going to seem like a paradox, it's going to be two aspects of something that feel like they don't go together, and it's okay that we don't fully understand it, because it's not in our comprehension to fully understand it, but even the peace that we can, it will grow us in our just worship of who he is. So, to help us start to talk about God's omnipresence, I want to show a little illustration. So, all illustrations break down. So, only take this at the very basic level. So, imagine this is a sponge. This is a sponge, a piece of paper at home. But pretend it's a nice squishy sponge. And so, it represents time and space. There's a beginning, there's an end. And so imagine if this was full of water. We're doing a lot of imagining. I feel like we should be on like Romper Room or something. Those of you who are too young, you may not know what that is. But if I dip this into water, and this is a sponge, what happens? It expands. And what does the water do? Does it only fill this bottom part? No. It will slowly continue, right? So if you're thinking about, we function in time and space that way. We function very linear, just like that water entering into a sponge. And sometimes we think that's how God functions. That God functions in time and space how we function in time and space. We may not articulate it, but that's just our default because that's all that we know, right? Again, this is time and space, sponge, beginning and end. It's all wrung out, okay? Completely dry sponge. Let's say this is full of water, and the water represents God. That's how God relates to time and space. He's fully in time and space, but he's also completely outside of time and space. At the same time, in all of time and space. Doesn't that kind of blow your mind a little bit? It's a little hard to understand. But what I want you to start to see is when you're looking and you see that God is in the sponge here, that's the word immanence. God is in time and space. Where the water is God outside, that's his transcendence. He's above. He's beyond time and space. And that's both God. Does that make sense? There's nothing else in our world that is that but God. Again, don't go too far with the illustration because it completely breaks down. But I just want you to have that in your mind when we are talking about how God relates to space. We already talked about God and time when we did the study on God being infinite and we're finite. Now, when we talk about God's omnipresence, we're talking about how God relates to space. And there's a few things just to keep in mind. For us, like I said, we're linear. I cannot just, like, genie blink my eyes and end up back there by Julie, can I? It would be kind of a cool trick. But that's, I can't. I have to linearly, I have to move in a direction to move space. I can't be here and where Julie is at the same time. Because I'm finite. And if you think this is going to get confusing, just think about the movies Back to the Future. Remember Back to the Future 1? We all kind of got it. By Back to the Future 3, for those of you, weren't you so confused? Because you were like, are we talking to Marty McFly of the future or the present or the past? Remember when they all, it just gets so confused. That's not God. He's not having to worry about running into himself and altering things. It's just we as finite beings are made to move through time and space linearly. God is not. He's outside of it, but he also dwells in it. And so those are the things we're going to talk about. God's immanence and God's transcendence. And what I hope is that by the end of this, you're going to see that it is beautiful and it is good that he's not one or the other, but that he is both. And that is the best news for us. So, you ready to go on this ride? So, let's start with some definitions. So I put some on your sheets, on your handout. So the first one is just a big definition of omnipresent. Basically, it is God is present everywhere at the same time. He's the God of infinite place. Martin Lloyd-Jones, he rightly said this. He said, this is the fundamental thing, the most serious thing of all, that we are always in the presence of God. So if you don't hear anything else I say, or if I'm confusing you, the thing you need to walk away with tonight is that you are always in the presence of God. Period. So if we're going to talk about God's omnipresence, we have to talk about these two categories, his immanence and his transcendence. Because again, God is not one or the other, he's both. So let's talk about immanence. And I have pulled straight from Jen Wilkins' book, because she says it in the best layperson language. So if you'll look on there, it says, immanence says everywhere God is present, he's fully present. So let me stop there for a second. What that means is when he's with Monica, he's in her presence, at her house, fully present there. But he's also fully present with Carrie. It's not like Monica's just getting a little piece of God, and Carrie's getting a little piece of God, and Janice is getting a little piece of God. No, when we talk about God being fully present, and his presence is with us, it is fully him. Again, I can't explain that to you, but his word says it. That's one of those incomprehensible things. But if you look at this, it makes sense. He is fully present. It's not like just a little piece here and there. So, God is present. He's fully present. And she goes on and she says, all of God is present everywhere all the time. And I love it. This is her words exactly, and I agree. But it gets crazier. All of God is fully present in all places, past, present, and future. And theologians call this his immanence. Put simply, there is no place or time where God is not. Again, that is hard for us to understand, isn't it? Because we are linear. I can't hop back to my past. I can't hop forward to my future. I move in a linear motion in time and space. What immanence says, because God, He is able to be in the past, the present, and the future all the time. And so think about that. It hurts our head because we can't make sense of it. But when Christ is dying on the cross, He's dying for those of the past, those of the present, and all the sins of the future, because He knows them, because He's present with them. So He's able to completely satisfy. I don't even know what I'm going to do 10 minutes from now. Like, I don't know what's going to pop out of my mouth. I mean, it should be what's on the sheet, but I mean, you know, kind of thing. And so just let that sink in. And at first it might feel scary and kind of weird, but there is such good hope and goodness and understanding that God is already in your tomorrow and He's present. And so that's imminence. I love Got Questions because, again, I just love their website. And when they talk about that, about God's imminence, they say it refers to His presence with His creation. And it says, a belief in God's imminence holds that God is present in all creation while remaining distinct from it. And that's important because there's a lot of Eastern religions that hold to pantheistic kind of things where they would go, God is everywhere. Look, He's in the chair. No, He's not in the chair. He is distinct from His creation. He is present everywhere, but the only creation that He indwells are His people. He is not in the building. He's not in the floor. He's not in the trees. That is, God is distinct from His creation. Again, the only creation that He dwells within are His children by His Holy Spirit. But His presence is everywhere. An easy way to think about this when we talk about immanence versus transcendence, immanence, just think about it, it's God's presence in time and space, how we know it. He's in our time and space. That's immanence. And then let me read one more thing, and then we'll talk about transcendence and kind of get the comparison. So Wayne Grudem, he says this. He goes, God is very much involved in creation, for it's continually dependent on Him for its existence and its functioning. So think about it. Isn't it good that God is present in creation? Because He upholds it. He's what keeps everything moving. So it is good that He is present in His creation. Else it wouldn't function, would it? He says the technical term used to speak of God's involvement in creation is the word immanent, meaning He's remaining in. And the God of the Bible is no abstract deity removed from and uninterested in His creation. He's not a God that went, I spoke the world in and now I'm out. No, He spoke it and now He dwells with us in it. And Grudem goes on and goes, the Bible is the story of God's involvement with His creation and particularly the people in it. Job affirms that even the animals and plants depend on God. It says in Job 12:10, in His hand is the life of every living thing and the breath of all mankind. In the New Testament, Paul affirms that God gives to all men life and breath and everything, and that in Him we live and move and have our being. That's Acts 17:25 and 28. Indeed, Christ holds all things together, Colossians 1:17. And He's continually upholding the universe by His word of His power. And so we've talked about that over the past few weeks, how we're not self-sufficient, only He is. So again, the fact that we have a God who created, and now He is present and continues to uphold. That is so good news. And that He's present everywhere. So if you get a new job location, He's going to be there. If you find yourself at a new, you're driving and you break down, hey, God's there. It's not like, oh, this is a one spot. that he's not going to be. If your child gets a job that sends them across the world, guess who's there? God. And what is he doing there? He's upholding everything just like he's upholding everything here. And so it's just, it's so, again, because we're so linear in how we're made, sometimes we can feel as if there's less of God other places. And God said, no, I am present in my creation everywhere at all times, fully. So that's what immanence means. Now on the other side, I gave you a definition here for transcendence. To transcend means to exist above and independent from, or to rise above, surpass, or succeed. So that first part especially, to exist above and independent from. What did we learn the second week in here? We called it his aseity. It was his self-existence and his self-sufficiency. Meaning, he's in need of nothing. He is so far beyond. He's so wholly other, except for he's made himself known, so make sure you keep that in context. He transcends his creation. And so he's present here in his creation, but he also transcends his creation in terms of his presence. It's the attribute of God in which he describes himself as distinct from his creation. R.C. Sproul says this, and I put this on your page because I wanted you to have it. It says, when we use the word transcendent with respect to God, we're not referring to geography, to where God lives. It's not like he dwells here, but that's his home. No. We're saying if God is self-existent, if he's eternal and pure, then by definition, he's transcendent. He's a higher order of being. It is for the reason that God calls himself I Am. When we consider the transcendence and the aseity, which is his self-existence and self-sufficiency, when we consider that of our God, we will respond to him in worship and awe, just like Moses did at the burning bush. And you have to have an understanding of both. He's here, but he's also other and transcends at the same time. Another aspect, just to kind of help you think about it, of God's transcendency is his nature that places him beyond the reach of his creation in terms of his holiness and his righteousness. And what do we know about his holiness? Can it be face to face with sinful man? No, that was broken when Adam sinned. One day, when we are in new bodies and we are in his presence, then he will reveal himself. But we can't be in his presence right now in that state because we're still clothed in our sinfulness, even though we are also covered by the righteousness of Christ. Does that make sense? And so there's an immanence of him with us, but there is a transcendence about his presence that also says he's above and he's independent of us. And so I don't want you just to believe me or R.C. as if I'm on the same level as R.C. I'm not, but I just want to say that. But I want you to see it in Scripture. So I've put some passages, I've listed them all, but I've just put one on there I wanted you to see, and I'll read the others. Jeremiah 23:23-24, God is talking, and there have been some prophets who've been falsely prophesying, and God basically is questioning this. Am I a God at hand, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Basically, it's a rhetorical question. I am a God at hand. I'm not just some God far, far away. And he goes on and goes, can a man hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord? So in this one verse, he's basically saying, I am right there. I am right there when you're doing X, Y, and Z. I'm not some far, far, far away God who doesn't know. I am right here. I am at hand. I am imminent. I am in your presence. Whether you know it or not, I'm here. Psalm 139, 7 through 10, it says, where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. Where is God? Everywhere. You can't go to the highest of the heavens or the depths of Sheol to escape him. A question that comes up when you talk about omnipresence, I'm just going to let you know we are not going to unpack it, is at the end of time, when God punishes those who have not repented, is God present? That's the question that many people have. I will throw these thoughts that I have been ruminating and still don't know the answer to. There are some who believe that part of the eternal punishment is the removal of God's presence. But then there's others who would say, when Christ died, what was the punishment he received? The pouring out of the wrath of God. And so some would argue in the eternal punishment, it's not the removal of God, but that they're in God's presence receiving the wrath. I'm not here to argue that, either one, because I still wrestle. And I will read one person and go, that's where I land. Then I'll read the next one and go, oh, no, that's where I land. But I'm just putting that out there that that is a question that we're not going to cover. But you're welcome to dig into that on your own. Either way, they both sound horrible. and praise Jesus that he has covered my sins. And that is not what those of us who are in Christ will know. So, but just know that comes up with this. And I just don't know the answer. I would say, talk to Benny Park. I feel like he knows everything. So, he's my boss. And I always check with him on things. So, 2 Corinthians 6:16, for we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them. And I will be their God and they will be my people. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Matthew 28:19-20, we know this one. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, you're on your own. No! Behold what? I am with you. For what? Always. I'm with you always to the end of the age. That is the presence of God. It's particular in the sense of the Holy Spirit, but it's also talking about his presence. And then last one, there's so many more, but Proverbs 15:3 says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. They're everywhere. So that's imminent. But let me show you some passages on the transcendence of God. And then we're going to talk more. Isaiah 40:21-22 says this, do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth. And its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. It is so showing that he is so transcendent and above his own creation. So much so that's repeated in Acts chapter 7. When they say the Most High does not dwell in houses made by hands. And then it quotes that very verse from Isaiah. And then I put on your sheet 1 Kings 8:27. And it says, but will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you. How much less this house that I have just built. It says, do you see the transcendence of God? I love Spurgeon has this quote, and I'm going to misquote it. I'm just going to tell you right up front. Because I read it, probably 25 years ago, and for the life of me, I cannot find it now. I know it exists, because I have it written down from like way back in the day. But it was probably in some random thing. But he makes this comment. He says, he talks about immanence and transcendence. He didn't use those words, but he goes, isn't it amazing that the fullness of Christ dwells within you? And yet the heavens cannot contain him. And you're like, what? I mean, like, oh, yeah, wait. I mean, it's so hard to grasp that the Holy Spirit dwells within me. And that's not just a little piece, the fullness of him. And yet, he cannot be contained. I will just take you back to this. It really breaks down, but it has helped me so much. And so, it's just wrapping your mind around that, ladies. Because again, I have a tendency to try to manage God and make him much smaller than he is. And so, but to get this picture, it just grows who our God is. And that should change us in our worship. It should change me in how I interact with what is going on in the world around me and in my particular situation. Because the transcendent God is the immanent God. The immanent God is the transcendent God at the same time. So why is this good for us, ladies? There's a gentleman named Richard Strauss, and he gives real practical applications of omnipresence for contemplation. He says this, he goes, God's everywhere. So he's with us in our temptation. He's with us in our need. He's with us in our loneliness. He's with us through the difficult times. He's with us in danger, and he's with us in death. And he goes, in his challenge in the sermon he was writing, he goes, so begin to cultivate a consciousness of God's presence. Quit living like he's not there. I was like, wow, that's direct, Richard. So, but it's true. We have to live knowing and being cultivating a consciousness of God's presence. So what I wanted to do, we're about to be at our tables. Hey, Tiffany, I may have you join. Pick a table, because this will be group one. And then you ladies at home, being a group two, on your sheet, I have given you a verse, Isaiah 43:2, and then Psalm 23:1-4. That is on your sheet, right? Okay. What I want you guys to do at your tables and at home, I want you to take a minute and start to, as a group, talk about how it shows that it is good news that our God is both immanent and transcendent. Now, it's not going to say, he is with us, he is up above us. I want you to be thinking, why is it good news when you read these verses that God is present, but that he's also above and beyond? Does that make sense? So take about 5 minutes, because I really want y'all to talk these through, and then we'll come back. Okay, so let's talk about this just for a second. So look at Isaiah 43:2. It says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. Then I'm going to go ahead and read Psalm 23, because they're all talking about hard times. And it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So what were some of the things you may have thought about in terms of God's immanence and his transcendence? How it's good that God is both when you read these. Just thoughts. He is present with us. Absolutely. Like, we're not alone in our situation. Yes. So those of you at home, Laverne said he's in it with us, but because he's transcendent, he's also above, he's over it. He's over, the waters. He's over the difficult situation. He's already in tomorrow, but he also is able because he's transcendent. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. He's all wise. He can do things that we can't even imagine in order to care for his children, his people, while he's in our midst. And so, what if he wasn't transcendent, and he was just immanent, and he was a God who dwells with us? Well, transcendent said he's above and beyond, he's able to do more. Then that wouldn't necessarily be the good news, would it? It'd be like, hey, I know you're with me, but what do? Kind of thing. Or if he was just transcendent, but not with us, then it'd be like, do you see me? Do you know what's going on? The fact that God is both is what is good news. I think about the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they've made their declaration because they believe God is with them. But because he's so transcendent, they could never have imagined what he was going to do. And isn't it good that this transcendent God's like, I'm the one who creates fire. I know how to keep you from burning in the midst of it. I'm with you, and look what I, as your transcendent God, can do. And so it's both. And so I think sometimes for myself, I know that God is with me, but I have limited God from being the transcendent God who's all-powerful, all-knowable, sovereign, holy, righteous. And so I'm like, he's with me, but I'm still fearful because I don't think you're going to do anything. Does that make sense? That's not something I like to admit. But if I'm honest, sometimes I'm like, yeah, you're here with me, but you're not doing anything. And I don't know what's happening. And I don't even know if you can do anything. Does that make sense? And that's where it's because I have forgotten that God is immanent and he is present, but he is also transcendent, and I can trust in him and rest in him because he's a self-sufficient, self-existent God who is infinite, who's incomprehensible, so I may not understand everything. He's all-knowing. He's already in the future. He's already in the past. I mean, he's in it all. And I think so many times, like, hey, just rest. Not a parent, but have nieces and nephews, they're grown now. But sometimes, don't you just, if you're holding your child's hand and they're scared, and you're thinking, if you would just rest in my hand, I'm the parent, I'm big, I can handle this. And it's like, to them, it's almost, as a child, it's not enough that you're just present. They need to be reminded that you are big enough and able enough to do. And so that's why it's important for us to have this right understanding of our God. I'm just going to read some verses, and I want you to hear, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He's imminent, but he's transcendent above, so he knows exactly how to do what he needs to do. He is a present help. He's not just a buddy. He's a present help in times of trouble. Psalm 34:8, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Just a side note, I'll mention on this verse. When I worked at Southeastern, I had a student who passed away unexpectedly. And so went to her funeral, and it was at a sweet African-American church. And my favorite part of that service was when the pastors were walking in with the parents, and they were declaring passages of Scripture the whole way down the aisle. And I know Pastor Reeder does that. And so when the pastor got up on stage, the very first thing he said is, God's word says he's with the brokenhearted, and he goes, so do we believe he's here? And, you know, amen, amen. And he goes, do we believe he's here? And everybody's like, yes. And he goes, okay, Now, let's talk to God. And then he did the sermon and all this stuff. But it so stuck with me because it was like he kept calling us to believe what the Word has already declared is true. And so that's what these verses are saying. He didn't have to tell us he's near to the brokenhearted, but he is. And it's not just a buddy. It is God transcendent who is also present with us and is able to minister to the depths of our hearts. Haggai 1:3, it says, the messenger of the Lord spoke to the people with the Lord's message, and he said, I am with you. Psalm 145:18, the Lord is near to all who call on him. Philippians 4:5, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is at hand. Matthew 18:20, for where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. Those verses, when it gets to those talking about believers gathering, he's always present with us, but he does something different when believers are together. Expect it on Sunday when we're gathered in worship. God is with us, and he's with us in our purpose of worship. Hebrews 13:5 through 6. Keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what can man do to me. Even in discontentment, he calls to say, know that I am with you. Let that change how you deal with your situation. Psalm 23:6, surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Isaiah 55:6, this is a call to the non-believer especially. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. He is near to the unbeliever. And God says, seek me while I can be found, because there will come a day. And so he's not far off. So let me ask you our last three questions. Do you believe God is omnipresent? And specifically what I want you to think and ask yourself, do you believe that God is near? And not only that, but do you believe that God is near and is able, because he's a transcendent God? Sometimes we're comfortable with just saying God's with us. But we act as if that is not sufficient. So do we believe that God is near us and is able? Another question related to do you believe, how do you deal with the days that you do not feel his presence? Do you throw your hands up? Guys, you're not here. I know, I don't feel you with me. Ladies, that's when we have to preach the truth of the Word to ourselves. Because the truth says he is with me. So when the lies of my feelings seek to drive me, I'm not believing the truth of what God has declared. So I need to be anchored in the truth. I love Jackie Hill Perry had a quote on her Instagram a while ago, and I'm going to misquote it, but she said, we need to stop praying that God will be with us, because he is. She said, instead, we need to pray that God would help us to believe that he is with us. And that has stuck with me, because I can tell you there have been a lot of times, oh, God, please be with me. Oh, God, please be with me in this. And I'm like, you already promised to be with me. Help me to believe that you are with me, and now help me to believe that you have given me the strength, remember last week, omnipotent God, you have given me the strength to go into this situation. And now give me the strength to actually act on what you're asking me to do in that situation. And so I don't have to ask God to be with me because he has promised he is. But I need to ask God to help my unbelief. So I will walk as a woman confident that my God is with me. Another question, do you rest and rejoice that God is omnipresent? So let me ask you this, and this is more for you guys to be thinking about this week. So how can you choose to rest in His presence? Or how can we choose to rest and rejoice that He is present with our loved one who's going through a difficult time? I don't always rest. I'm anxious and I'm worried and I'm all these things instead of resting in the fact that God is present with that person that I love dearly who's going through something difficult. How can we choose to rest and rejoice that He is in our most difficult situations now and in the future? And so I'd like for you to think just for yourself this week, is there a current situation that you need to choose to rest in the good news of God's presence? Recognizing that God, He's a present with you. And the God who's present with you is also transcendent. He's above and independent of this situation. And He can do whatever brings glory to His name and is able to do that. And then the last one, do you rival God in His omnipresence? Ladies, here's what I would tell you. We're actually notorious for rivaling God in His omnipresence. And you may be thinking, how in the world is that possible? Here's what I would say. How many of us are in one situation thinking about what we need to be doing in another situation, but then thinking what we need to be doing in another situation, and how are they going to survive if I don't make it there and do that? And I know I've left this message for my husband to do this with the kids, but he's not going to do it, so I need to get home and I need to do this. We want to be omnipresent, don't we? Because we think we are the one person who is needed in every one of those situations in those people's lives. And if we're not there, it's not going to happen right. Right? I'm not saying it's going to look perfect. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't have a desire from the Lord to do that. But what we often do is we're not fully present in the place God has placed us because we think, I actually need to be over there. And then, but I'm not going to be fully present there because I actually need to be over there. And so we're never just fully present where God has placed us and ordained us to be. And maybe we're not supposed to be the fixer. Maybe it's time for a loved one, a friend, a family member, a spouse to depend on God for whatever that may be. That is hard, isn't it? It is a difficult thing. But God is the only one who can be in all the places. And God transcendent is the only one who actually knows what is needed and how to accomplish it. Please don't hear me say we shouldn't be engaged or helpful. This isn't a, woo, well, you're on your own, Christy said. No, but it's being mindful before the Lord about where He's calling us to be and to be there in our finite little selves and trusting the infinite God who's omnipresent, both immanent and transcendent. He knows what He wants to accomplish in that particular space and time. I want to read Stephen Charnock. I put him on your sheet. He is the great Puritan writer that sometimes I don't understand. Y'all, I read a few articles by him, and I have to confess, I read one, and I think I read the same paragraph 10 times. And I thought, I just don't know what he's saying. So the fact that I even found one section was, you know, when you're like, oh, thank God I understood this one. But I know what he says is good. I just can't tell you what I read. But here's what he wrote. He reminds us of this comforting truth. As there is not a moment But we are under his mercy, so there's not a moment that we are out of his presence. Let us therefore look upon nothing without thinking who stands by, without reflecting upon him in whom it lives and moves and hath its being. Let us not bound our thoughts to the creatures we see, but pierce through the creature to the boundless God we do not see. We have continual remembrances of his presence, the light whereby we see, and the air whereby we live. All things give us perpetual notices of God. Yea, what a shame is our unmindfulness of God, when every cast of our eye, every motion of our lungs, jogs our memory of God. And then he gives us some practical. How shall we do to be more serious? Mind God's presence. How shall we avoid distractions in service? Think of God's presence. How shall we resist temptation? Oppose to them the presence of God. I love that. When temptation comes, present them. God is with me. This is the strength in which I'm going to fight this. He's here with me. This holds no temptation to me. So let the essential presence of God be the ground of our awe, and his gracious, influential presence the object of our very desire. So I want to leave you this one illustration, and I'll make sure you guys at home can see it too. Talking about the presence of God, and on those days when we don't feel his presence, or when he feels far from us, the question when he feels far from us, I do think the first thing we do need to ask is, have I sinned in a way where it feels there's a fracture and I need to mend that before the Lord through confession? But then there are other times we just don't feel his presence by circumstances, by busyness of life, whatever it may be, and that's where we have to remind ourselves of the truth of God and his word. So, I'm going to give you a little example. Hold on, let me... I love nesting dolls. Okay. This is an illustration that also breaks down, so don't go too far with it. They all do, but I love them. Hold on, I'm trying not to drop them all. Okay. So I'm only pulling four of them out because it won't work with the whole bunch. And I have, like, the loosest nesting dolls. Okay, so we've got... I don't know how to show them at home. Hold on. Okay. So you guys, there's four. I'm not going to do this anymore, but I'll hold them up. Okay. Sorry, it's like a little trick here. All right. I'm dropping all the dolls. You're doll number three. Okay? Happy-go-lucky, right? Or sad, or you're in a difficult situation. You're not sensing the presence of the Lord. Or you're in a hard situation. You're like, God, are you with me? Do you hear me? Do you see me? All the things that we say, right? I want to remind you, as a believer, who dwells within you, ladies? The Holy Spirit dwells within you. Galatians 3:27 tells us that we put on Christ, that's you, Christ's righteousness. You are in him now. Colossians 3:3 says this, for you died, and your life is now hidden in Christ, with Christ, in God. Where can you go that the presence of the triune God is not with you? What hardship, what difficulty is he not with you? When you're crying on your bed, when you are deeply disappointed, when you are sad, is your God present? Yes. And do you know who this God is? He's the immanent God who is also the transcendent God, who is self-existent, he is self-sufficient, he is infinite, he is all-knowing, he is all-powerful, he is incomprehensible, he's all present, omnipresent. You'll find out next week he's sovereign over all things, in control of everything. How secure do you feel? Or how secure do you need to tell yourself you should feel? That's you in there. Where are you, God? Right? He's like, I am right here. In you, around you, above you. I am transcended. I am with you. And so the next time, or in this current time, when you are crying out, God, I don't know if you see me. I don't know if you hear me. I don't know if you know what I'm going through. You think about yourself as doll number three in the nesting dolls and be reminded that God is in you, around you, above you. He knows. And he doesn't know just as a fellow person. He knows as your transcendent God what is best, and he knows how he's working it and what he's doing, and he knows how to care for you. And then you rest as doll number three in there. It should change it for us. And so, let me pray, and then y'all head off. We should make sure to say doll number three. So let me pray, and then I'll send the homework. Next week is the sovereignty of God. That doesn't have questions, does it? So, but it's good. This is your God, ladies. This is your God. So let me pray and we will be done. Father, thank you. Thank you that we are so secured in you, that you dwell within us, that you clothe us in Christ, that we are hidden with Christ in you. God, we are your children. You are with us. And there is nothing that will ever change that in time or space or outside of time and space. And God, not only that, but you are a God who is above. You are the transcendent God. That should give us the most confidence to trust you, to believe that you are able to do what is the right and the good thing. And so, God, help us to rest in that. Where we do not believe, would you grow our belief? Would you expand our understanding of you, that we might truly rest and rejoice in you in all circumstances, because you are a good God. We love you, Father. We are so grateful that before the foundation of the earth, before time and space, you declared that we would be your children. God, help us to rest in that and rejoice in that and to bring glory to your name because of it. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.